Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. My name is Eric. I'm your host. It's the eclectic DIY show. Sometimes we wander off into other stuff, but kind of stuff that we found kind of oh wow and want to share with you. Today, Rick is here and we're going to talk about ticks flying in the air, my fig tree obsession, and Florida water.
And if we get time, we might talk about DIY foundation.
Yeah, I kind of tripped over Florida there because
Florida,
interesting country down there.
Our leaders do not live in our same country we do. Anyway, how are you, my friend? It's so good to hear your voice.
I'm good. It's I'm a little obsessed with fig trees, and we can talk about that. So, like, I'm sitting here now, but I'm thinking about the fig trees that are in my yard here, right out the window.
What are you thinking about them?
Well, let's talk about the tick flying around in the air first.
Okay. You've been having impure thoughts about your fig tree.
Yeah.
There's this great article in National Geographic that just gives me the willies. Ticks do not have wings, but ticks do not jump either. It turns out, and they just discovered this in this article, this study, ticks are sensitive to static electricity, and they actually levitate onto you. And they can levitate between 6 and 12 inches, depending on how much static electricity you're generating. As you're wearing your rubber soles in the field, and then you're walking by and your legs are rubbing and you're generating all kinds of static electricity. You're making a field that literally attracts ticks. And for those ticks that climb up in trees and drop down on you, yep, they don't even have to be very precise, because all they have to do is get in the neighborhood and the static electricity draws them to you.
Yikes.
Yikes. We'll put a link to that article in the show notes, but wow. I mean, I hate ticks with a pink purple passion, but man, they give me the willies.
Yeah, there's also the link you gave me to National Geographic is behind a paywall, it looks like.
It might be.
There's an article on PBS, a shorter article that kind of abbreviates it, and the study was published in a journal called Current Biology. If you're a super geek, you could look that up in Current Biology and then enlighten the rest of us.
Yeah, put your PBS link in there instead then.
Yeah, PBS NewsHour, boring but very neutral news. It's the best kind to watch.
I think if I only watched one TV show a week, it would be Washington Week in Review.
Yeah.
About five people, a quick round table of everything's going on, different views on the news, and then just forget it until the next week. Not much happens on a day-to-day basis that really matters.
I did kind of go on a deep dive. Oh, that's a bad pun. With the Titan submersible going down the Titanic.
Yeah.
I was just... the curiosity part of my brain was just like, I want to learn everything about this, you know? So I would actually read The Guardian, which is from the UK, has a very neutral take on America, I think, at least. And it's kind of a neat way that the way they write kind of takes a step back from the world that we live in right now. But they had some great articles. The New York Times had some great articles. And online, there's some interesting videos. So... yeah, I do sometimes going to go down rabbit holes, but I'm aware of it now and I'm getting better at, okay, you need to step back, Eric.
Step back, take a big breath, you know. Yeah. Okay, well, tell me about this fig tree obsession.
Hello, my name is Eric, and I have a fig tree obsession. Like, I've talked about this before, but 10 years ago, I bought a fig tree at the Amazon grocery store. Whole Foods.
Whole Foods, yeah.
And it was $20 and it was in a pot. And for some reason, I didn't want to plant it in my backyard. I don't know why now. I think maybe I thought the dogs would ruin it, you know, because the backyard is basically wood chips so they can run around. And I gave it to my good friend Brian, and he stuck it in the ground, and it has grown enormously to the, and he has gotten saplings from other neighbors of other varieties of fig trees. And now we have fig trees from his yard. So 2 years ago, I got two different fig trees, a brown turkey fig, which is a very mild weather fig, and then a Chicago hardy fig, right, which is much more robust. And I'm like, oh, this is very neat. And then I watched a video from, I think his name on YouTube is Fig Tree Boss. Really, and a really nice guy. I mean, the name is kind of weird for Fig Tree Boss, you know. Yeah. But he has this great, brilliant method for, it's called air layering. It's where you wrap some soil around a stem of the tree, and certain trees will grow roots into the bag of soil.
Right.
Or aluminum foil or soil or whatever. And yeah, he has a great method using Ziploc bags, a zipper type of plastic food bags to do it. So, of course, I did it a couple times and I'm like, oh, wow, this is really neat. And then I realized that fig trees kind of have a spreading habit, and they will, I don't know if they're called shoots, but maybe 6 inches or a foot away from the main plant, some more fig tree will come up, and you can cut that and it'll have roots on it and some leaves, and you've got a clone of the mother plant.
Wow.
So you, of course, now I have six. And I'm doing more.
And you're obsessing of how in the world do you get rid of them?
Oh, I'll give them away.
And okay.
Brooklyn has a really nice, I don't know if it's a macro or micro climate in the backyards, because they're townhouses or row houses. I've been told I call them wrong names. That are, it's all walled in. So you've got a 3 or 4 story high concrete wall around everyone's backyard. So around, it's like 50 houses in a row. So, and you know, so basically all these backyards are protected from wind, not necessarily so much from temperature, but there's a lot of concrete in the backyards.
Right.
So fig trees grow really well, except for last year when it was 12 degrees for several days and they burned back, but they grew back again.
Good.
So,
good.
Some of my neighbors want them, and my right adjacent neighbor has this phenomenal fig tree that has a different leaf pattern. It's a fig tree pattern, but it's different than the two varieties I have. Mm-hmm. And I asked her if I could put some of these air layering bags over them. She said yes. I did cut down a tree for her the other day, so maybe that helped.
But oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a mulberry tree, if you know what those are. They're pretty messy trees. So
yeah, they are.
So now I have two bags on her tree as well. So I've become kind of a nut job.
Yeah. I love figs, but I mean, they're so sweet and so sugary that I really can't eat that many. Do you make like fig jelly, or what do you do with
it? No, we eat them off the tree, or we give them to our neighbors. And, you know, you show up with figs or a little jar of honey or a little jar of maple syrup, and people are all really nice to you. That's how I've got everyone's allegiance on my block. Just give them valued foods.
Yeah. So how's the weather been up where you are?
Oh, hot.
Yeah. You didn't get any of that terrible rain that they got in Vermont?
Oh yeah, we've had dumping rains. And I mean, this is like we were talking before the show, but I think this is the new normal. I mean, with the earth rising in temperature, we're going to have higher humidity air and more intense short storms. And up at our little house in Connecticut, I think we got several inches in 6 hours, to the point that my basement never leaks water, and this last storm it did, because the soil was so saturated from the previous intense storms. And I get, it's not a lot of water, but in the 20 years I've been there, I've never had water in my basement, and now I do. And I'm like, okay, the only thing that's changed here is the weather. I mean, my basement didn't change, you know.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
And it's also hotter. It used to be we would leave New York City and go up there, and it's higher in elevation, it's 140 miles away. It was always 10 degrees cooler up there, and now it's not.
Yeah. So, you know, the South and Southwest are just burning up, and people say, no problem, we got air conditioning, even though it's 112 outside or 115. But what people need to remember, one, is that a lot of animals don't have air conditioning.
Yes.
A lot of people have to work out in that weather regardless. But mostly they need to think about the fact that chlorophyll stops working at just over 100 degrees.
Oh, wow.
And so all production for plants stops after the temperature. It depends on the plant, but somewhere in the around 100, 105, all the chlorophyll stops working. It just chemically becomes inactive. There are these horrible stories during the Dust Bowl of farmers out there lugging water in this amazing heat and pouring it on their plants, grains, trying to keep them alive. It didn't matter how much water you put on them because the temperature was over 100 degrees.
Yep.
And they were doing everything they could to save their field and their gardens and whatnot, and nothing worked. And that's one reason, one of the reasons we had a Dust Bowl out there in the 30s.
Yeah, also the tilling of the soil. I mean, we just basically tilled up so much of it.
Yeah. But, you know, that the whole thing, I mean, you know, if you got to have live plants to hold soil down. Did you see, speaking of things like that, 98.5 degrees in water off of Florida on the southwest coast?
Yeah, that's wild. That's crazy.
That is crazy. And that's really early in the season. The Atlantic is just almost boiling out there. If the El Nino, which will give sheer winds, they're over in the Pacific near Peru, they will have sheer winds that blow across the top of those, and they thought it was going to be a really strong El Nino, which will keep the hurricanes down. Now it's looking like they won't be any at all. And so we may have quite a few hurricanes this year, and really major ones.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cheery?
Yeah. Hey, here's a cheery thing.
Yeah.
You can, Home Depot will deliver all sorts of stuff overnight or perhaps in a day or two by FedEx Ground to your house and save you a trip to the Home Depot.
Ah, so you save on carbon.
Yeah, so you're lowering your carbon footprint. I needed some paint and for painting in the house, and I know the name of the color, and I get it from Home Depot. It's called Simply White, which is a warm white. You know, it's a very generic color. And to get there, I mean, I don't like to drive the car, mainly because I lose my parking spot, and it can take. So you lose your parking spot, you go run your trip that takes only 20 minutes, but when you come back, it takes you 45 minutes to find a parking spot. So you're driving around and around and around, and when you drive slow, your car isn't nearly as efficient. So I ordered 2 gallons of the Bear, that's their name brand, eggshell with this custom color, which blew me away. And they, because it was over, I think it's $36 a gallon, so it was $72. So it was above some kind of threshold where they would deliver it for free in the next day or two. And they said it would be 2 days. It was a Tuesday. They said it would come Thursday. And it came Wednesday.
Wow.
So wow. You can save yourself a trip, save some gas, save a little bit of the warming of the planet. And people might argue, well, the truck has to come to you. Well, the FedEx Ground truck comes down my street every day, dropping off boxes for other companies. And so for them to take a minute to drop off my Home Depot paint, I think the footprint of that is a lot less.
Yeah, no kidding. Did they send little men with rollers to put the paint on?
I wish.
Yeah. Painting is the one thing I really hate to do.
Oh, that's funny. I love painting. I hate the prep.
Well, I don't like either. I mean, I roll them into one distasteful project.
What I have done is I now wear an organic vapor mask when I'm painting. Even if it says it's low VOC or no VOC,
right?
I wear a mask now. And I used to paint for a living, and I wouldn't wear a mask. And I'm like, you know, yeah, it might be whatever, but it's off-gassing something. And a good mask is about $50. The 3M 3M has an organic vapor mask for about that. Don't buy the cheap clone. And it takes a little bit to fit it, but I think you're much better off. And I also put a fan in the window of the room I'm working on to just suck everything out. And yes, I'm kind of pulling out some air conditioning if you're doing it in the middle of summer, but it's better than me and the dogs being exposed to this off-gassing paint. This might be super paranoid of me, but I just think a mask is really helpful.
It's hard to be too paranoid anymore.
Hey, real quick, one easy way to support Garden Fork is if you're going to shop online and use Amazon, please use the link to our storefront. The link is in the show notes here. If you click on that, it'll open it up in your web browser. If you're on a laptop or desktop, it will open it up into your app, ideally, if you're using the Amazon mobile app. Please shop locally. I go to my local hardware store first. If I can't find it there, then I go to the orange or blue store. If I can't find it there, then I order it online. So if you are shopping online, use our Amazon link, amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you.
You want to talk about Foundation Trilogy?
Yeah.
Yeah, just I had this idea. Now, stick with me because it's a little strange.
What?
Me. I said something strange. I had a strange idea that, are you familiar with the Foundation, Isaac Asimov's trilogy?
No.
He wrote it back in the 40s. It is a science fiction cult classic. And Apple TV is making a series out of it. And a lot of the real hardcore Foundation people don't like the TV series, but it is visually just stunning.
Oh.
But the conceit of both of these things is that civilizations fall, and how do you restart a civilization after it falls? And how do you avoid the Dark Ages? And the way Harry Seldon does it is to create what he calls the Foundation, and they gather all knowledge and they store it in one place, so it shortens the length of time people need to start up. Because as they get to that point in their development, they won't have to rediscover everything. And that pretty much mirrors something I was thinking about recently, for no good reason, is a personal foundation device for if things were just to go terribly, or to put in a box somewhere and have archaeologists in 3,000 years discover it and find all, at least a substantial part of human knowledge on one UPS drive, USB drive. And there's a product called Kiwix, K-I-W-I-X, or you can call it KiwiX, and its symbol is a little kiwi bird.
I wonder if that's something about New Zealand. Is that
it might, yeah. Or the shoe polish. Can you imagine how terrible it is for them to take those little brown birds and smush them up into shoe polish? I think that's just terrible of them. But anyway, if it's not about shoe polish.
That didn't land right.
No. If it's not about shoe polish, this product is free. It's for every platform. And what it allows you to do is to download the complete Wikipedia. And it's indexed. And so it's not like you start with A and you have to run all the way to Z. It gives you the index up front. You can find, and it branches into everything. It's the entire Wikipedia that you can put on a thumb drive. And it's an entire medical dictionary or medical encyclopedia you can put on the thumb drive. And you can keep adding to it. And this is really popular with prepper types and end of the worlders. Because you can install the operating systems for every major operating system on this thumb drive along with this other information. I put the entire Gutenberg project on the thumb drive.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Wikipedia, the medical encyclopedia, detailed information, detailed report, stuff on chemistry, history, sociology, astrophysics. I mean, just all kinds of things in their specialty. The survivalist side of it actually has, you know, how to find water, books like Where There Is No Dentist, Where There Is No Doctor, you know, all that kind of stuff that you might need. And it's takes up a 500 gigabytes on a, I bought a really expensive, nice SanDisk 1 terabyte thumb drive. And the whole conceit of Qwix is that you put this on the drive, you can send it to poor countries or to rural places that don't have internet, and children there can access all the information of humankind, or at least a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just such a wonderful idea. But I thought, you know, somewhere someone's going to do something stupid, and you know, there may not be a lot left, and somebody will dig up my little drive that I put in the tin box, an Altoids box, and put silver refrigerator tape on it so it's like a Faraday cage.
Yeah.
And somebody will find that someday and say, you know, this person saved all of humanity's knowledge. Now, I know that's just a conceit, but it's just kind of an interesting idea. And I did a couple of these. I put one in my everyday carry stuff that I, you know, take back and forth to the car, so that if I'm out and about and I'm not getting good reception and I need something, I can just look it up real quick on Qwix. And so
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, there it is, a DIY foundation. All the real knowledge. It's amazing how many times this has happened in civilizations. After the fall of the Roman Empire, the almost all knowledge of Roman Greece was lost. And it was the Arab flourishing just after that that saved everything. So everything we know about Rome and Greece, that part of the world, was saved by the Arab flourishing of knowledge and whatnot. That's the reason all the or so many of the stars have Arab names when you look at them, Deneb, that kind of thing. And so, you know, that was one case. And then the Enlightenment was essentially spurred by this same concept. We came out of the Dark Ages. Half of humanity in the Western world had died. Trades weren't passed along, skills were not passed along, knowledge was not passed along. And it took Denis Diderot, one of the founding fathers of the Enlightenment, to say, I'm going to pull everything together, all knowledge. And it was easier to do back then. And he put it in the encyclopedia, the very first encyclopedia, and he sold subscriptions. And then they went all over the world so that knowledge was diffused, and it could never be wiped out totally again. And to me, that's just one of the most amazing things about human beings, to you know, to want to preserve our way of life, our knowledge, all that stuff, and pass it on even if we're not here. And to be cognizant of how much you had lost if things went really bad. So that's... There you go, the Enlightenment, the Arab flourishing, the fall of the Roman Empire. By the way, the Asimov Foundation trilogy was actually based on the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, the book. So, yeah, that's what I've been thinking about recently. And so we'll put links in the show notes if you want to download the Qwix app and just have it. And all that information, so you can look up anything anywhere. I mean, even if you're just taking a cruise and you don't want to pay for their outrageous internet fees, you can still look up stuff and do research while you're out enjoying yourself.
You can also they've created something called a Wi-Fi hotspot for Kiwi X, and it runs on Raspberry Pi if you want.
Right, and they set those up in in schools, and they'll provide all the kids with a tablet or a little laptop, and so they can link into it and they can all do their independent work with it.
So each of them doesn't have to have a thumb drive. They have a small, you know, flash drive or something. Well, the data, a little Wi-Fi hotspot hardware, and then everyone with all sorts of tablets, whether they're donated or laptops or whatever, can access that stuff. And they don't need the most up-to-date iPad or up-to-date laptop. They just need something that could grab Wi-Fi and use probably a web browser, you know?
Yeah, that's all it is.
And I thought about downloading the Wikipedia, because there's a link for, I think, on the homepage of Wikipedia. It's like 3 gigs or something, if I'm correct.
Oh, no, it's much more than that. It's more like, I think, 45 or 50 gigs.
But still a very manageable number.
Yeah, yeah. And I found the medical encyclopedia. And you can get it with pictures or without pictures, and with drawings and diagrams or not. I get the full version of everything. And, you can also get all the Khan Academy videos on Quix.
Oh.
And download those. And
do you have to pay a license for that?
No. And then how to fix it. The Khan Academy videos are free on the internet.
Oh, nice.
And then how to fix it, the entire series on how to fix things. I just think that, you know, even if the power was out for a week, you know, you have a hurricane, which sounds probable for some people, and you're out of power for a week or two, you know, you can still take care of yourself, take care of your health, take care of your family, look at how to fix things, how to do things, how to purify water. Just the survivalist information on how to find and purify water and is probably worth the price of doing this. And it takes a couple of days to download everything and then get it onto a thumb drive. But once it's there, it's yours. Now, like I say, buy a really good quality thumb drive. Don't cheap out on it.
SanDisk is a very good brand.
Yeah, I paid more than I should for it probably, but it was a 1 terabyte, so it's got a little space on it.
Yeah, you really do get what you pay for. I mean, a lot of places compete on price for memory cards, and they're just not worth it. The cheap ones are not worth it because they'll fail at the worst time.
Well, it turns out that, particularly in the 1 terabyte range, you got to be careful because they put 2 different kinds of memory in there, and they put about 64 gigabytes of super fast memory. And then the rest of it is a really slow crawling memory. And so your drive will take off and it'll start transferring, at a phenomenal rate. And then it'll crawl to about 20 megabytes a second because the memory is so slow. And so you need to buy a really good quality USB drive.
Wow. That's very interesting. Yeah. Now my mind is spinning about that instead of fig trees.
I'm a Navy guy, and so we say belt and braces in the Navy. Braces are suspenders, and so belt and suspenders. And I'm always got one eye on what could possibly go wrong, and trying to prevent it. That's the reason we had such a successful 5 years cruising a sailboat in the Caribbean. Is, we thought about everything. We, prepared for most eventualities, at least the most likely ones. And then we didn't have much trouble as we were out and about. The people that get in real trouble are the ones that just think they're moving to Margaritaville and they don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Just the other day, now I have no idea why anyone's leaving Florida and going to the Bahamas in a sailboat in the middle of August or July.
Because it's colder?
Yeah. 8 guys just pushed off in this rackety old sailboat. I think we shouldn't be responsible for rescuing people that do stuff like this, but they got out there and the whole boat sank, and they're out, kind of fending off sharks when a pilot sees them and calls the Coast Guard to go get them. And they weren't ready. They had no seafaring knowledge at all, but they were going to Margaritaville. And the boat was just a wreck. And so, anyway.
Yeah, I really believe you're responsible for your actions. And I just wonder what people are thinking when they get like stuck in, you know, they get stuck in the Grand Canyon or something, and then someone has to helicopter in, and that helicopter is $5,000 an hour, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was popular for a long time. The federal government doesn't charge, but a lot of state parks charge people when they have to rescue them. And some will not let people walk into the wilderness unless they buy rescue insurance and can prove they have it.
That's smart.
Well, there's any number of people that walk into the wilderness with a cell phone and a peanut butter sandwich. They get lost. It's cold. It's dark. There are things out there scraping around in the brush that they can't identify. And so they climb to the top of the highest peak, get cell phone reception, and demand to be rescued.
And yeah. I read a story about this because this is where I base my information, is about people expecting to be rescued. And it was a state park issue. And, you know, one of the parents had broke a leg or something way out there in the bush, and leg or ankle, something. The other people got help, and so the state rangers came in, and the guy's like, "Where's the helicopter?" They said, "There's no helicopter. You're walking out of here." But even like going back to the Titanic and the submersible, that's millions of dollars a day, if not an hour, for all those experts to be there to do this rescue. And who pays for them to be there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and who would get into a vessel like that? And I guess it is a pressure vessel more than a vessel like you sail. And not have some way to get out. Even if they had Bob to the top, they probably roasted.
Yeah. Well, the liquid nails didn't really hold between the platinum and the carbon fiber there.
Yeah.
They evidently, we could do a whole show about it. Now, other people have, but they didn't follow best practices, I think, when they were assembling the submersible. There are checks and balances. It's kind of like when you're going to put a rocket into space. You know, there's a checklist. There's people, there's safety teams checking what everyone is doing. And this sounded more DIY, let's just say.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. All right. Well, this is getting, we could get into the weeds on this. And
yeah, but I've got things to do today. It's so I need to scat on out of here. You want to do an after show?
Yeah, that's part of the deal, Rick.
Ah, okay. Well, hurry up.
All right, so thank you, everyone. If you had some thoughts on this, it's radio@gardenfork.tv. Rick and I are going to do an after show for the patrons. If you want to become a supporter of the show, I ask for a cup of coffee a month. You get that, all sorts of pictures, some videos every month. All right? Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media, LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goots. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.